Accident Attorney Studios. This is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm.
Woke up to the news of Geno Smith getting acquired by the Las Vegas Raiders. If you remember, Raiders were at the forefront of signing Matthew Stafford, or rather trading for Matthew Stafford. Rams would have had to trade him. Morning, everybody. Welcome on into Saturday Tailgate. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez, we are in the house until 10 a.m. We'll talk a lot about that Geno Smith trade. We'll go around the NFL as well, because I got a couple of teams. With this deal that happened with the Raiders and the Seahawks, I got a couple of teams who I think are desperate to win. A couple of teams who are going to do everything they can to get back to relevancy, and a lot of it is for different reasons, and we'll touch on that a little later on in the show. And you know, whenever you got myself and Damian Perez in the building, we're watching football, we're watching soccer. 72nd minute, City and Nottingham Forest tied. I told you the bet that my friends made last night at 2 in the morning, right?
Yep. They just had the faith in Nottingham Forest at home.
I had a group chat with my other friends who watch football, who watch soccer, and 2:30 in the morning rolls by, and I was up binge watching a show, which we'll touch on later on. But regardless, they were up. My one friend goes, Forest looks juicy. Forest, I believe it was 20 to win 75 for Forest to win outright. And my other buddy goes, I like it too.
And this is at home against Manchester City.
Correct. And City, it's more context. City, one of the better teams in the Prem, has won the Premier League the last 3 years. But and then my one friend goes, I absolutely love it, but I am drunk as so. Drunk bets were taken at 2:30 in the morning in the football group.
You think
group
they're up
text.
Watching the game right now?
Absolutely no. Not. I haven't heard a peep. And you and I were watching the game a little bit when we were doing our pre-show meeting, and I was, you know, I can't wait to send the screenshot of a draw or whatever the result may be. But we'll keep you updated on a little EPL. We'll make a Premier League parlay later on in the show as well with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. But we do got to talk, folks, about Geno Smith. And this was something interesting to wake up to. Damian, you, a couple of shows back, I think last show, maybe two shows ago, we were talking about, you know, the Raiders and Matthew Stafford. And you think the Raiders are really trying to go for this thing next year?
Yeah, I think they're trying to match up with the Max Crosby timeline. And they just signed a Geno Smith, who I would say he's a formidable quarterback, but I don't know, Mike. I'm just not buying in yet.
Yeah, it's a bridge quarterback, but I'll tell you what.
I mean, if we analyze what Geno Smith had in Seattle, like he was stacked in Seattle.
Yeah, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, DK Metcalf, but
Tyler Lockett at running back.
In his 3 years as a starter, he played 17 games in 2022, 15 in 2023, all 17 in 2024. So he's missed two games in 3 years. He threw for 4,200 yards in 2022, 3,600 yards, and he missed two games. One would think if he plays two more games, he's going to throw for over 200 yards in each. He'd throw for 4,000 yards. And then last year, he threw for 4,300 yards. He was a Pro Bowler in 2022 with the 30 touchdowns and 11 interceptions and 4,200 yards. This might not be the, I think, long-term answer. I say long-term because we have some sound of Jeremy Fowler, a reporter for ESPN, covers the NFL, does a great job. I say long-term because he's going to sign a contract with the Las Vegas Raiders, but it's a little intriguing. Damian, let's listen to the sound of Jeremy Fowler talking about Geno Smith going to the Raiders.
From what I've gathered, the Raiders simply didn't love the free agency class that was available here. They know Geno Smith. Pete Carroll wants to win now. This is not a rebuilding situation. They hired Carroll so he can get this done immediately. So he needed somebody he's comfortable with. He's very comfortable with Geno Smith from their Seattle days. They felt like they had a good kinship. Pete Carroll feels like he can win with them. And also there's the contractual piece here. Geno Smith has a year left on his deal. He wants a new contract. He had some preliminary talks, I'm told, with Seattle, but it didn't shake out. It didn't look like that was headed in the direction that Smith wanted. So I do believe that he was a factor here in wanting to go elsewhere to somebody who will pay him. And I'm told that they are going to be working on a long-term deal between Smith and the Raiders here soon.
I'm assuming, Damien, 3 years? 3 years as far as a long-term deal. I don't think they're going to sign up more than that. I don't think it's going to be like a four or five-year deal. And Geno's older, and I think Geno understands. But how about Geno Smith? Who had on their bingo card back in, let's rewind to 2021, 2022. Who had on their bingo card that Geno Smith was going to sign two contracts for over $100 million? Because the first one was, after he had his 4,000-yard passing season, Seattle inked him in on, I believe, a two-and-a-half, three-year deal. That's about to expire here. And now he's about to get another $100 million across 3 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what quarterbacks make.
No question. I think Geno Smith is in a great position.
When you're a starting quarterback in the NFL and a capable one, I mean, I just got done telling you that Geno Smith is a 4,000-yard passer. I think that's something that we forget. Two out of the last 3 years would have been three out of the last 3 years if he played the last two games. So I think this is a good move for the Raiders. You heard Jeremy Fowler say they really didn't like anything on the free agency market. Who is on the free agency market that you're writing home about anyway?
I don't think anybody from the free agency market, but
Justin Fields? Like, come on.
The Raiders do hold the sixth pick in the draft. Maybe they can take an Atlanta Falcon approach where they do draft a younger quarterback. And with no intentions of starting him this season, just having him sit behind Geno Smith and having him learn, where we've seen, I know you're not a fan of that, but we've seen that be kind of a recipe of success for many teams.
Sure.
I don't know if the Raiders with Geno Smith are considered, I don't even want to say contenders. I don't know.
Well, let's give it some time. Let's give the Raiders some time.
They're in a very tough division as well.
I mean, one of the hardest in football. I look at the head coaches, and you got Sean Payton for the Broncos, obviously Andy Reid, and then Jim Harbaugh for the Chargers. But listen, Pete Carroll's no slouch over there in Vegas, and I think that the Geno move makes him immediately a better football team. Now, the Raiders gave up a third-round pick. It's going to be the 92nd overall in 2025. It's kind of a bargain.
It is.
It's
a great deal.
To get a starting quarterback
under contract
who throws for 4,000 yards and is very serviceable and can win you games where you don't really know. Let me play devil's advocate to the sixth pick thing, Damien. Say the Raiders don't really like any of these quarterbacks in the draft. They don't really like and obviously they didn't like the quarterbacks in free agency. They're able to take the best player available. And at the sixth pick, where two quarterbacks are probably going to go at the top two picks, would we agree?
Yeah.
I think regardless, if Tennessee and Cleveland, if they don't like the quarterbacks, they're going to trade back because a desperate team is going to go and trade up.
And a defensive end, which the Raiders don't need.
Right. At the sixth pick, they're going to be able to get some great value on whoever they take. So I really like the move for the Raiders. I think the new GM and Tom Brady, Spytek, and Tom Brady, I think they're working hand in hand. And this smells like a move that Brady would. And then obviously Brady probably, and I'm not saying he's making all the moves there. Like, they have a GM for a reason. I'm not saying Spytek is getting undermined by Brady.
He's definitely influenced, though.
Exactly. That's the point. That's the point. Like, obviously Spytek is having conversations with Brady, and they're probably making these decisions together. On the other hand, Smith is 34 years old. So that's where I think you sign him to a two-year, three-year, probably $100 million deal, and you ride that out.
Yeah, and I think this is important for the Raiders because they're in a position where many players within the organization, especially Max Crosby, which is their franchise player, we're starting to question the direction. And I think this move, apart from just making your team ready to compete, kind of shows them that, hey, we're in it. We're trying to win. We're not in a rebuild. We're trying to win now. And anybody here can be assured that we're going to look to win this season.
Now, Smith, according to Jeremy Fowler in this article, this is Seth Walder. He covers the Las Vegas Raiders for ESPN. You heard Jeremy Fowler on that sound clip. We'll listen to that back to that in a second. But Seth Walder of ESPN.com is saying he's worth about $31 million a year. And if you sign that three-year contract, that's the $100 million contract. Now, he's going to be 37. In 3 years, Geno will be 37. Is he going to be a 37-year-old making $31 million and not performing? But
I think he'll get more than 31, to be honest.
And with the way the quarterback market is going, I tend to agree with you.
I mean, Baker's at, what, 40?
Right. And Baker a bit younger. Understand the point, though. I maybe they do the Atlanta Falcons route. Maybe there is a case to be made that they might take a Jackson Dart or one of a Jalen Milroe in the second or third round or one of these back end quarterbacks to have him sit behind and then take the reins. And they won't play next year. I think Geno is going to be a well competent quarterback next year. And listen, I've seen quarterbacks play into their 40s. But I think once you get past the age of 35, you start to scratch your head a little bit.
Yeah, and especially with a team where the Raiders don't have glaring options at receiver and running back. I can't even name you the running back. I think it's, what, Zamir White?
We did.
Sincere McCormick?
I told you in our pre-show meeting, you asked me that question. I said, Damian, I've covered the NFL since I was 19 years old, and it is very embarrassing that I don't know the running back for the Las Vegas Raiders.
There's a lot of holes to fill in
Las
Vegas.
Huge holes. And we'll go through those holes in a second because I do want to play the sound again.
There are options, though.
There's
free agent options, which I think the Raiders are going to be well involved with.
Dame, let's play the sound again.
Oh, Nottingham. Gold Nottingham.
The boys are going to wake up happy?
Your boys are going to wake up happy.
Alanga? Out here, Pouncey scores! Goal, Hudson-Odoi, goal!
Unreal.
How about the season by Nottingham Forest? I guess the saying for me of the show today is, what did you have on your bingo card? The two things I didn't have on my bingo card this morning. Let's go to the first one. Back in 2021, I didn't have on my bingo card Geno Smith signing two $100 million contracts and getting paid in the NFL and being a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. And the other thing I didn't have on my bingo card was Nottingham Sherwood Forest with Robin Hood and Little John starting up top, up 1-0 against City and third on the Premier League table. I know I joke around about it being a miserable United fan, and Damian, I mean miserable United fan. But what a goal here. I mean, Ederson, that it's shocking keeping by Ederson.
And we were talking about how good of a season, or not how good of a
season
he was having.
Hang on, you were. You were.
How good of a goalie he was and how good he is with both his feet and his hand. But, I mean, yeah, that goal, first post, you can never let up a goal first post if you're the goalkeeper.
Shocking. And he's sitting near post, too. It's not like he guessed wrong. Nope. It's not like he guessed across his face.
That's the only place
he completely missed it. You can't lose that. And look at him. He can't believe it. Oh, my gosh. So
good old Jinx.
And how about City? How about City? My City fans are complaining about Haaland this year. They're complaining about Pep Guardiola. Did they win three Premier League titles in a row? I don't want to hear that, but your EPL updates brought to you by our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Folks, download that Hard Rock Bet app today. Perfect time to get involved with March Madness around the corner, with NBA playoffs right around the corner. If you're like Damian Perez and myself, big football fans, big soccer fans, it is legitimately the best time of the year. You have Champions League fixtures. You have Europa League fixtures. League fixtures. Premier League. La Liga. Bundesliga. Liga. Download that app today and get involved. It's a lot of fun with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 and physically present in the state of Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling? Call 1-888. Admitted. That is 1-888 admitted. And later on in the show, Damian and I will make our parlay of the weekend with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Did you see what I took yesterday? I took Brighton. I took Brighton at plus 100.
Okay.
And then I took a later on afternoon game as well. I want to make sure. I took Tottenham. And believe it or not, Tottenham's kind of in bad. Dude, did you see their Europa fixture?
Oh, my God.
It was so bad.
I looked at that fixture, and I thought Tottenham was going to be the one team that was sure to win. They lost. Incredible. What a bad season they're having.
Also, not a bad result by Man United. Bruno Fernandes, folks, is Manchester United's one of their central midfielders.
Tough opponent for United, too.
He's a world-class player. He's a really good player. Probably the only world-class player on the roster, which is crazy for the caliber of United. But Damian, I swear, partner, He always does dumb you-know-what. I almost swore.
Yeah.
He always does dumb you-know-what on the field.
And that's kind of his personality. He's kind of like a mixed bag kind of guy, you know? Like, he's a great player. You know what you're going to get from him. But at times, it's like you're asking yourself, why?
It was 1-0, and then he had an elbow to the jaw in the box, and, like, they didn't even card him on it. And I don't even think it was an intentional one either. A couple of my other United buddies were upset that it was a penalty, but that's a good result on the road. 1-1. Now it's going to go back to Old Trafford. Now, we can't play at home. I mean, we'll probably lose 3-0 at home because you're
added pressure for no reason.
You sold me a lemon on Wonder Boy Amorim. But let's get back to Geno Smith and the Raiders. Folks, if you're just joining us, Geno Smith traded to the Raiders. The Raiders surrendering a third-round pick to the Seattle Seahawks. And the Raiders finding their franchise quarterback with what Damian Perez and I believe to be for the next 2.5 years. There are rumors out there from Jeremy Fowler that he's going to be signing a long-term contract. Let's take a listen to Jeremy Fowler talking about the trade.
From what I've gathered, the Raiders simply didn't love the free agency class that was available here. They know Geno Smith. Pete Carroll wants to win now. This is not a rebuilding situation. They hired Carroll so he can get this done immediately. So he needed somebody he's comfortable with. He's very comfortable with Geno Smith from their Seattle days. They felt like they had a good kinship. Pete Carroll feels like he can win with them. And also there's the contractual piece here. Geno Smith has a year left on his deal. He wants a new contract. He had some preliminary talks, I'm told, with Seattle, but it didn't shake out. It didn't look like that was headed in the direction that Smith wanted. So I do believe that he was a factor here in wanting to go elsewhere to somebody who will pay him. And I'm told that they are going to be working on a long-term deal between Smith and the Raiders here soon.
Now, Damian, you mentioned that the Las Vegas Raiders need a bit of everything. Zamir White, Sincere McCormick, Amir Abdullah, and Alexander Mattison. That was their running back room last year.
Yeah. And Zamir White got hurt. I can't remember what his injury was, but I know he's coming off an injury.
And Amir Abdullah, I mean, this can't be. It is, Damian.
It's a tough landscape.
Hold on. I said this can't be Amir Abdullah I was watching with Ndamukong Suh.
He was everywhere.
Dude, he got drafted by the Lions in the second round. But I remember Amir Abdullah, you know, my Buckeye fandom. I remember Amir Abdullah 10 years ago, the running back from Nebraska. And I remember watching games last year. I said, that guy's still in the league? Guy's still getting a contract?
This is kind of the reason why I wasn't sure if I was buying in with this whole Geno Smith experiment. Because if we see and analyze what Geno Smith had in Seattle, like, there wasn't many holes in Seattle. You know, at receiver, you had a great receiving room. You had a great running back room. Now he's coming off to the Raiders, and the Raiders mentioned they didn't like the free agent class that they had. I mean, Sam Darnold was out there. Sam Darnold was out there. You didn't even have to give a third-round pick. Now, I don't know what that contract would look like, but interesting to see why they did not go for Sam Darnold.
Are you taking a DK Metcalf move serious for the Raiders?
I would love that for the Raiders. I mean, I don't know how much Geno Smith, he had DK Metcalf last year in Seattle, and it looked like JSN kind of faded to that number one spot.
Yep.
But I think DK Metcalf is an upgrade to any team in the league.
I mean, he's an upgrade from, with all due respect, Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, Terrence Marshall, and Ramel Keaton.
Jacoby Myers, is he still there? Did you mention Jacoby Myers?
Yeah, I did. And he had 1,000. Before I slander Jacoby Myers, who, you know.
No, he's been formidable.
1,000 yards last year.
And they
have
Brock Bowers as well.
Bowers, I mean. One of the best rookie tight end campaigns we've ever seen in NFL history. Just ask my fantasy team. He helped me win the whole thing.
Probably got him deep, too.
Yep, he helped me win the whole thing. But if you're just joining us, Las Vegas Raiders trading for Geno Smith, giving up a third rounder to the Seattle Seahawks. We'll talk more about that. We'll also go through some of the more desperate teams. When I say desperate, some of the more teams that are desperate to win, that are desperate to see some results out there on the pitch and on the field, on the field. So we'll talk about that when we return. This is Saturday Tailgate. We are powered by Hard Rock Bet. More Saturday Tailgate when we return on ESPN 106.3.
Products for over 50 years in the home of honest, reliable service. Go to slbt.com and book your next appointment.
Business owners, are your employees driving you nuts? Is money tight? Or have you just poured your heart and soul into your business and now it's time to retire and just relax? At Trans World Business Advisors, they have buyers from all over the world ready to buy your business now. Call for a confidential conversation about your business's current value. 561-203-5255. 5121. That's 561-203-5121 or visit tworld.com today.
Hey, ref, time out, man. All right, team, we're only down by 5. We can still win this. Grab some water and get back out there. Wait, no, not that water. That's full of contaminants and pharmaceuticals. You need Culligan water. With their free water test and reverse osmosis purification system, you'll have clean, refreshing water just like a slam dunk. Schedule your free consultation today at Culligan.com. Culligan, your partner for better water.
Hey, Culligan man!
Attention business owners, the next several months are going to be super busy. Why not let us take some of the burden off of you? Get the help you need from Intelligent Office in Palm Beach Gardens. Professional live receptionist to answer screen and forward all of your calls to you live. Why do you need a virtual assistant? No high salaries, no holidays or sick pay, no call-outs, no turnover, and no additional equipment. Call 561-472-8400 or visit intelligentoffice.com to learn more how we can help you streamline your day.
It's spring break and Palm Beach Zoo is roaring with excitement. Come explore Tiger Forest, the reimagined tiger habitat, and meet our newest Malayan tiger, Olan. Now with 3 connected spaces, our tigers roam freely in Tiger Forest, just like in the wild, walking right above you on stunning overhead trails. It's an unforgettable experience where you'll connect with these majestic animals and learn how to help protect them in the wild. New tiger, new home, new adventure. Plan your visit today at palmbeachzoo.org.
Kaiser University's flagship campus, the 100-acre residential campus at 2600 North Military Trail in West Palm Beach, extends Kaiser University's educational offerings to over 100 degrees in the heart of South Florida. Kaiser University also has an athletic program with 20 national championships, including the 2024 Women's Swimming and Diving Championship and 2023 football, lacrosse, and men's swimming and diving titles. Visit KUCHawks.com for the latest.
Studios. This is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm.
Geno Smith traded it to the Las Vegas Raiders. Raiders giving up a third round pick to the Seattle Seahawks. The Raiders believe that he could be maybe the bridge quarterback for 2 or 3 years. Hell, maybe he could be a quarterback that could lead the Raiders to, I don't want to say the promised land. I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl with Geno Smith, but they could certainly be a formidable team, could go to the playoffs. They need to do a lot of work still. Damian and I were kind of joking around going through their roster. They need running backs. They probably need receivers, and they need a whole plethora of things on defense, but certainly not a defensive end after Max Crosby got inked in with a new contract. How's it going, everyone? Hope everyone's having a great Saturday. It's the Saturday Tailgate. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez. We have things locked down until 10 a.m. Nottingham Forest pulled it off.
They did. They survived that surge because the last 5 minutes or so, Man City was just going for it.
Were they peppering them?
They were, but they survived. This is a big win for them. They've skidded a few games, so this is a big win.
But it was a true three-pointer, as we call it.
Yeah. And Man City was right behind them.
City is in fourth place on the table. Nottingham was in third place. So a big three-pointer for Nottingham Forest in this game. And now Chelsea, I forget who they play later on today. Chelsea is fifth. And if they win, they will be able to jump Manchester City. And obviously, we have a lot of soccer to be played, a lot of football to be played in the Premier League still. But they, as of this weekend, if Chelsea wins, they'll be able to jump City and get that fourth spot.
Chelsea has Leicester at home tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Pretty easy game.
Leicester City at home, who I believe is in the relegation zone. It's them, Ipswich, and Southampton.
Yep, that's exactly it.
And it's going to be just like last year, where the three teams that came up are going to go right back down. So we're going to keep you updated on the Premier League fixtures. You don't have any other actually Premier League fixtures starting until about 10 a.m. We do have Inter Miami in action coming up tomorrow. Really excited for their fixture against Charlotte FC. How about Wilfred Zaha Talk about a blast from the past for me.
That's right. And he got his first goal of the MLS season.
Yeah.
MLS career,
yep,
for that matter.
It was a wicked deflection, and he was able to get a Ricky rebound. But regardless, Zaha's
Crystal class. Palace legend.
For a Palace legend. And do you remember when he was on Galatasaray last year?
Yeah.
And those United matchups? He scored in like the first 5 minutes at Old Trafford. I believe he played for Man United. And
this is the kind of player that when he comes to the MLS can completely change the face of a franchise.
Oh, yeah. So I'm excited for Charlotte FC. We have our good buddy Kenneth in studio right now as well. He will be producing the game. I'll be on site with the great one, Ken Lavica, doing some pregame, halftime, and postgame. But I do want to, if 888-760-3776, with this move, with this Geno Smith move going to the Raiders, I want to ask the question out there. 888-760-3776, call on in. Who is the most desperate team in the NFL to win? Who is the most desperate team in the NFL to win next year? Now, when I say win, progress, like 10 wins in playoffs or 9 wins close to the playoffs, showing progression. There are a couple of teams that come to mind. I want to start with one, Damian. The Giants. It's got to be the Giants with Joe Sheen and Brian Daboll. Those guys are coaching for their job.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the Giants didn't do a move like this.
Yeah, but
I'm surprised the Giants didn't go and get a veteran quarterback. Do you want to know what that tells me? Probably looking at the draft.
The one thing I will say with the Giants is their timeline maybe is a bit more flexible than other teams. I think with Neighbors being their best player, you know, he was a rookie last year. You kind of have like 2 or 3 years to kind of make that splash into contenders with the Giants. I think the Jets are in a position where they have to win now. What are they going to do if they don't? I mean, I know they just let Aaron Rodgers walk, so there's question marks at quarterback. But apart from that, I mean, you got Garrett Wilson, who was on the border of asking for a trade. You release Davante Adams. Like, if you don't win now or within the next 2 seasons, what are the Jets going to do? Complete rebuild, I think.
They are in the same situation that Las Vegas and Tennessee and Cleveland and all of these teams that need quarterbacks, they're in that situation. The problem is they're sitting at 2. If Tennessee and Cleveland select quarterbacks and Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, vice versa.
Imagine that war room.
You're going to trade Jackson Dart? Or excuse me, you're going to draft Jackson Dart? Are you going to trade down? And
That's a tough position.
It really is.
That's a great point, because if you get down, like you mentioned it, like you painted out the scenario, if you get down to your pick and the two guys you wanted are off the board, what are you going to do? And you only have how long's 2 minutes to make a decision?
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure they have scenarios cooked up in case contingency plans, but you're scrambling at that point.
My best guess for the Giants is that they'll trade up from 3. They'll try to trade up from 3 if someone's willing to listen. I think the team that's willing to listen is sadly my Browns.
Or Tennessee. Tennessee is another one that I feel like can listen.
And I tried making this case to my partner, Capitan Colin Russo, for Russo and Rizzo. You can listen to us 4 p.m., 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. I think Tennessee is going to take a young quarterback.
How about the Raiders? The Raiders at 6. You know, they just got their quarterback. You can maybe drop a few spots in the draft to get some assets and get some assets in return as well.
Are they sitting at 6?
They're at 6, yeah. They're not going quarterback. You can probably.
They're not, but who's. Is someone going to trade up for Jackson Dart? Like,
he is making a lot of noise in the combine.
I don't.
How about Seattle? That's another team that.
Can I say something? I'm not a Jackson. Listen, I'm not a Jackson Dart guy. I'm not. I understand that he was solid at Ole Miss. The SEC is one of the hardest conferences to play in. Brother, he lost, and I know it's college. It's hard to compare college and the NFL. He lost him that game at the end of the season. All they had to do, and I want to make sure I'm right on this, they lost to Kentucky first off early on in the year. And Kentucky, they won like 3 games in the conference that year. And Ole Miss controlled their own destiny. And at the end of the year, they lose a must-win game. And Jackson Dart played him out of the game. I believe it was Florida. It was Florida, November 23rd.
But that was the Florida
Jackson
revival.
Come on, man. I understand the point, Damian, but you got to win that. If you're a college football playoff team, you got to win that game, man. Like,
It was at home, too, or was it at the Swamp?
It was at the Swamp, but the problem is Jackson Dart threw two interceptions late in that game. Like I said, maybe I am overreacting a little bit about I don't want to say meaningless college game because it cost them the playoff, but maybe I am overreacting to something that happened in college, but I don't know. I'm not a Jackson. I think if you draft Jackson Dart with the third pick or the sixth pick, that is a hell of a reach.
Can we touch on Seattle real quick? Because obviously they just got rid of Geno Smith. What are they going to do now at quarterback? Do you see a player like Sam Darnold possibly ending up in Seattle?
What are the Vikings? Like, first off, the Vikings didn't sign Darnold to that.
They're letting him walk. They're letting him walk. I just don't see him coming back.
To Damian Perez's point.
Why would you not franchise him if you want him back?
You going with Sam Howell? You going with Sam Howell next year? They're going to have to figure something out.
UNC, what is he, a UNC legend?
Yep. They're going to have to figure something out. DK, listen.
Are they in a rebuild?
The Seattle Seahawks went 10-7 last year, and they traded their, I guess I could call him franchise. Yeah, I'll call him. They traded their franchise quarterback and have Sam Howell as the starter right now, and one of their star receivers, DK Metcalf, wants out.
And the other one got cut. Tyler Lockett.
What's going on there in Seattle right now? I mean, you win 10 games, you trade Geno Smith, and DK Metcalf wants out. Maybe DK knew they were trying to trade Geno Smith.
Oh, he definitely.
And he saw the quarterback situation.
Although, I don't know if you knew the first offer from Seattle. The initial offer Seattle gave the Raiders was both DK Metcalf and Geno Smith for Max Crosby, which got declined immediately and progressed into just being Geno Smith.
And progressed. They went from an absolute haul to a third-round pick.
Right. And a bunch of question marks now.
It's good business.
What are you going to do at quarterback? You know, like you said, Sam Howell, is that the solution here? Or are we going to maybe, I don't know, draft, maybe trade up? Maybe they can get up deeper in the draft. What's the draft pick, Seattle? They should be somewhere, I would say.
I mean, they're in the middle of the pack.
15,
They're in the middle of the pack winning 10 games. There were a ton of solid teams last year. But I look at this like, I know that was a new head coach last year. And he probably went over expectations, but if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan, I think you're scratching your head this morning. DK Metcalf wants out. You trade a competent quarterback who's thrown for over 4,000 yards two of the last 3 years. Would have been 3-for-3 if he played all 17 games. You're scratching your head at that operation right now, and I could totally see now. DK, what's his worth? What's his value? If Geno Smith's going to go for a third round pick,
I would say third round pick as well. DK Metcalf.
God,
man. I mean, I maybe fourth or fifth because you're gonna have to pay him. You're gonna have to renew him, give him an extension. Maybe that's why
the Raiders have money,
right?
I know they signed Crosby. A chunk of that's gone. They're probably gonna get Geno Smith on a 3-year, 112. If I had to guess.
I mean, and if Pete Carroll wants Geno Smith, I would assume he also wants DK Metcalf for the same reasons he got Geno Smith.
Right, and. Maybe they are, Pete Carroll, former Seattle coach. Maybe that is the route that they're going to poach some of Carroll's players. But fascinating stuff. Truly fascinating stuff.
I wonder how Brian Rowitz feels about all of this.
Yeah, so Brian Rowitz, our program director here and content director here at ESPN 106.3. I texted him this morning. I told you two things. Number one, he's not up. Number two, he's probably dealing with the kiddies right now. You know, Brian's got two kids.
Right.
I can't relate.
Serving breakfast.
Yeah. As much as I want to have kids and can't wait to have kids, I'm kind of happy I don't have kids right now.
That's the next stage.
That is the next stage. And I got to find the Mrs. Rizzo. I got to find the queen of the castle first. But I'll tell you what, there's something special, Damian, about living alone and waking up and being able to do. I mean,
it's almost like living lawless.
Exactly. I mean, I had to go to work this morning, and more often than not, I just go to the gym and, you know, refreshing up and go to work every day. But like a day like today, where what do you call? By the way, I'm interested to hear, D. So I work 9 to 10 today, which, you know, not bad at all. And then I have the rest of the day off. Do I have the day off? Is this technically a day off?
Oh yeah. I mean,
is this technically a day off?
What are we doing here?
I listen, I'm having a great time. talking some Geno Smith with my good buddy Damian Perez.
It doesn't even feel like you clocked in, huh?
And watching Premier League, watching City lose.
Exactly.
I'm getting paid to watch Manchester City lose. Losers!
I would absolutely say this is a day off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can ask anybody who works a regular 9-to-5, you know?
Dude, I was up late last night. I was watching that Severance show.
Oh, boy.
Dude, I don't, I like the show. I don't know why I like it, though.
That's one of those shows where
creepy.
I don't know how you binged that before going to bed. I feel like you closed your eyes and you still heard the script.
So growing up, I was a baby. Like, all right, let's put it this way. From about the age of 9 to about 13, I could not watch scary movies. I was that guy. If we were at a sleepover and we watched a scary movie, I'm calling mom and going home. You know what I mean? I was a mama's boy in that sense. But now, like, dude, you hit puberty and you grow. I could watch anything, honestly. Dude, I'll have to find the movie in the break because I don't want to sit here and not give context in the movie. It's Proper Flowers. But there is a movie, Damien, where it's like a retreat. And they go to I believe it's like Sweden and Norwegian. And they like, it's like a cult. And when they're there, someone immediately jumps off a mountain and you just see him crack his legs and die. And I'm like, oh my God.
Wow.
One of the more disturbing movies that I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, if I could watch this, I could truly watch anything. And last night I got hooked on Severance. Dude, the Milchick character, for those of you that don't know the show, this isn't spoiling anything. It's basically you have these people that are working for this company. And when they go into the company, when they clock into the company and go down the elevator, their brain switches to where they become a different person.
Right.
They're still themselves, but they become a different person. When they leave work, they don't remember what they do at the company.
It kind of isolates
yourself
from.
They call it, to Damien's point, the innie is the one who goes to work and works. The outie is the person who lives their life outside of work. So
it's a very interesting dynamic.
And what scared the you know what out of me was when they leave work. So the innie leaves work. And I thought that I thought something different was going to happen, but the innie leaves work. You see him go up the elevator. And then the immediate next scene, about half a second later, is the doors opening again for the innie. So the innies leave work for what seems like half of a second.
And they don't know what real life feels like.
And then the elevator opens up and they're back. And the girl looks at the manager and goes, that was the weekend? Like, that it didn't seem like any time at all. And I'm like, oh my God, Damien, can you imagine that?
It's very creative writing.
Oh my God.
And
listen,
writing.
Ben Stiller is the writer of the show. And it is absolutely incredible. But I got hooked.
You need brain power to watch it.
Damien, we were, I was on site at Cacti Park with our good buddy Kate Chumsland yesterday. We had a blast and whatever. But I go to the gym in the morning. So when I get home from work and don't have anything to do, I could play video games. I could watch sports. I could binge watch. My buddies were begging me to watch Severance. And I woke up this morning and hit up the group text. I'm like, yeah, I finished season one. And I am that binge watcher to where, brother, if I start watching something, I'm done. And if it's like a two season, three season affair, I'm done in a day. Done in a day and a half.
Did you binge watch Game of Thrones?
So I watched that live.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
The first season, all the way through?
The whole way through.
Wow.
The whole way through. The high school. So from high school.
That's tough. That's tough.
A sophomore, junior year of high school, all the way until I believe, was I still in college? Maybe a junior in college? When did that final season come out? I graduated Ohio University in 17.
I want to say it was around then.
Yeah. I think it was
a horrible season, but.
Oh, dude. And they took 2 years to release it, and it was one of the worst endings I've ever seen. It's hard. I will say this. I was very upset at the time about the ending of Thrones, but looking back at it, brother, it's so hard to end a series
like that. To that point, I feel like they were doomed.
I rather have went with the happy ending instead of the ending they got. You could yell at me. I'm not going to spoil Game of Thrones, but it kind of goes a darker route at the end, and I didn't really like it. I'd rather have it just been a happy ending.
I mean, I don't want to say much because, like you said, it would spoil it.
You don't want to spoil much because I know people still probably want to watch it at some point, but they could have went with a happy ending. There's no reason that it had to to do all that.
Break our hearts, honestly. It was heartbreaking.
Sucked. Call it for what it is. You ever seen Christmas Vacation?
I have not.
Okay, never mind. I was going to do a reference when Russ goes, sucks, at the end of the movie, but I just did. 888-760-3776. Folks, who is an NFL team that must win next year? That, when I say must win, a desperate team to turn things around, to win 9 games, win 10 games, show signs of improvement. I went with the New York Giants. Damian Perez went with the New York Jets. I'll tell you a couple more teams who I think fall under that category as well. And we will make a parlay with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet coming up next right here on Saturday Tailgate with Mike Rizzo and Damian Perez.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm.
Hang on here. So, D, you're telling me, what do you like in the Prem this morning? We got him, folks. Welcome back. Saturday Tailgate, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez. We're taking you up until 10 a.m., our final segment. And it is time to make our parlay with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. I got two, D. I got two. So if you got one, you got two, you let me know, and we'll throw it on in there. But the two that I have, I love Brighton today. Is that a fool's bet? Is that fool's gold at home against Fulham? I really like that bet.
It's not that I don't like it. I just think Fulham is a good team. But I will say, plus 100 for Brighton at home.
At home.
It's, you know what I'm saying? If we're looking at it from a value, I would say that's a great value.
All right, so let's do that. Let's do Brighton plus 100 at home. Let's do the bet that I did agree with the drunkards last night, my friends who were up at 2 a.m. getting their bets set because they're not going to be up for the fixtures. I did like the total goals in Crystal Palace and
yeah,
Ipswich.
I love that.
Dude, it's 2.5 is minus 120.
I love it. I think
minus 120.
Both teams struggle defensively. Both teams play a high press. They like to attack, but they neglect the defensive end. So absolutely, I love the 2.5.
So over. That's 25 to win 91.
How about we throw in Inter Miami? I don't know what their odds. I haven't looked at it, but
I'm assuming
I like Inter Miami tonight. Okay. I think Messi will play.
Oh, yeah, he'll definitely play tomorrow. I told you, by the way, they didn't need him for that Cavalier SC game.
I agree with sitting him out on that game.
Let's do a little Inter after we're done putting this together. Hang
Inter
on.
Inter Miami minus 190. I think those are pretty good odds at home, especially if Messi's presumed to play.
Yep, let's add that. So that's 3 to win 139.
I love
you
it.
You like that?
I love it. So you said it was 20 to win 139?
So 25. I always do 25 on these.
That's the unit.
25. Yeah, I love that term. 25 to win 139, D. We have Brighton plus 100. We have the over in Crystal Palace and Ipswich at 2.5 for the game, by the way. It's not just Palace. It's over
both
for the total
combined
game. I mean, my God, there are going to be three. Ipswich leaks goals.
Yeah.
And I know Mateta got that cleat to the face. Mateta is the striker for Crystal Palace. He got the cleat to the face from that Millwall keeper. And you tell me that Millwall keeper suspended
6-month ban.
I mean, deserved.
I think it's a little harsh.
Deserved.
I think the tackle was absolutely
shocking.
Horrific.
A disgrace.
But I don't know if he meant, I don't know if the intent was there. I agree with a ban. I just think 6 months is a little hefty. I would have probably gone for more. Four months, I think, is more adequate. Just because of intent.
And then Inter Miami minus 190. So Brighton plus 100, Crystal Palace and Ipswich minus 120 on that over for the game, 2.5. And then we have Inter Miami to win the game minus 190, 25 to win 139. Listen, we're not gambling professionals. Clearly listening, I think you could tell we are not gambling professionals. But create your own parlays with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet, folks. Download that app. It is the perfect time to get involved. We have the NCAA tournament right around the corner, about 2.5 weeks, 2 weeks away from the NCAA tournament. We're almost a month away from NBA playoffs. You got the playoffs starting in about a month. So download that Hard Rock Bet app today. Get involved. And if you guys love football, if you love soccer, like Damian Perez and I, there is no better place to bet on the EPL, to bet on La Liga, Bundesliga, Liga, Download that Hard Rock Bet app today. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 and physically present in the state of Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. That is 1-888-ADMIT-IT. Inter Miami against Charlotte FC coming up tomorrow. Ken Lavica will be on the call right here on ESPN 106.3. I will be handling pregame, halftime, and postgame. And our good friend Kenneth is going to be producing things back at the City Place Studios. Damian, I told you that Inter Miami did not need Messi against Cavalier SC. Now, Elias Bustamante, our good friend over on the Deporte side, 760 AM, he thought maybe Messi could have been injured. No, Messi's not injured. Brother, he didn't need to play in that game.
No, he did not.
He did not need to play in that game. Now, it was scary in the first half. And to be honest,
yes, I know where you're going at.
They washed the goal. I mean, that was partner. That was
very questionable. We were on the right side of that.
I am an Inter Miami homer. I want to make this very clear. I am very happy that they washed and rinsed away that goal for Cavalier SC. I thought that was a goal.
And we were texting each other during the game.
I thought that was a goal.
It was giving me Atlanta vibes. It was really reminding me of how the Atlanta playoff run went. Those games where we came in overly confident. I think that's the theme.
And Damian is obviously talking about the MLS playoffs. Inter Miami had the bye week the first week, but at Atlanta, you know, I almost said Atalanta.
I say that all the time.
I'm used to the Serie A team in Italy. But Atlanta United won their first round matchup and beat our Herons in that round of, I believe, what, round of 16? The second round, as we call it?
It was because Inter Miami had the bye week.
They had the bye. Mm-hmm. So, and the boys were saying it was giving off those vibes, but that team's too loaded. They're too loaded to lose.
Even more loaded than what they were last year with all the incorporations. Tadeo Allende, Telasco Segovia. You know, they've kind of gelled instantly to this Inter Miami team.
Dude, Allende's my guy.
Yeah,
that's my guy. Celta Vigo, lone player. If you guys aren't aware, Celta Vigo is the top.
And we're getting another midfield. I don't know if you saw the news. Baltasar Rodriguez from Racing in Argentina.
Wow.
Loan deal with mandatory, I guess.
Buy options?
Buy options.
So, like, he's going to play, if he plays a certain amount of games,
Inter Miami's
going to have to buy him.
Correct.
Okay.
And he's a midfielder coming from Racing in Argentina.
Yep, and Javier Mascherano, obviously Argentinian, one of the greatest international Argentinian players in Argentina's history.
He coached them in the under-23 Argentina team as well.
Coached the U21s and U23 teams for the last couple of years. So this move makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
Familiar with the player. Yeah. And you, from what we saw last year, we always need depth at midfield.
Yep. I had a ton of fun calling that Houston game, by the way. That was a lot of fun.
It was a great game to call.
I was on play-by-play for the Houston game. We had a drunk fan run onto the field and five goals.
He had a bit of everything.
Segovia, you heard Damian Perez talk about Telasco Segovia. He had a brace in the first half. And Luis Suarez had four total goal contributions in the game. He scored in the second half, but he assisted on all three goals in that first half. Did he win MLS Player of the Week?
I don't know if he did, but he should.
I mean, if he didn't, it's a disgrace.
Right.
I think I'm doing my prep tomorrow. One of the MLS players did have a hat trick. Another MLS player had a hat trick in the fixture, so I'm assuming that maybe he could have. What's more impressive, three assists and a goal or a hat trick? It's tough. I feel like it's right down the middle.
It's break even for sure. But the narrative here is there was a lot of criticism on Luis Suarez and his start to the season. You know, he did contribute, but physically he didn't look like he was all there. So to that point, I think he answered the critics perfectly, and he does deserve the Player of the Week.
Yeah, and as we gear up for Charlotte FC, this is one of those games you need all hands on deck. Charlotte's good.
Yeah, and they just got Zaha, so I'm assuming that team's kind of flying high right
now. Yeah, and Zaha scored match week two.
Home debut.
Yeah, on a deflection. So there's certainly some excitement there with a good international player like Wilfried Zaha having some success. I think they win 2-0, 2-1.
I think Miami wins this game as well.
I think they win. That start against Cavalier SC was a little alarming. Would you agree?
It was, but
that was
maybe
an alarming start.
Maybe it was kind of that. Maybe Inter Miami needed that, you know, because you kind of have to lock in. You can't overlook any opponent, and that's what I assumed happened. in that first half. So maybe they just needed that reality, a smack in the face kind of.
Are you and our good friend Elias Bustamante at 7:60 a.m. Deportes, you guys are part of the Ian Frey fan club, huh?
I love Ian Frey.
Ian Frey, yeah.
I don't know, and this is no knock at Chelo because he was a great player, great right back last year when we needed one the most. But I don't know how you watch both players play and say Chelo's the man for the job over Ian Frey.
Frey does more. I will agree with you there. That's what it comes down to. Frey does more. I feel like Chelo, by the way, we're talking about the right back position, fullback position for Inter Miami. Chelo is very, I think more reserved. Ian Frey does more. But partner, he needs to shoot the ball in front of goal. He had a bad flop in the box. Nonetheless, we will have Inter Miami soccer coming up for you guys tomorrow on ESPN 106.3 on the English side and the Deportes side. Folks, you hear that music, that means it's time for me to go. Sometimes friends have to go away and a part of them stays with you forever. Remember that in this life. We'll catch you next Saturday, and I'll catch you tomorrow on the Inter Miami Radio Network.